This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Perek Tes Vav, Mishnah Aleph. The next couple of prakim discuss the halachas of wooden and leather utensils. As an introduction, the Mishnah first reviews a couple of rules that we learned back in Perek Bey's Mishnah Aleph that pertain to wooden and leather utensils. First, the Mishnah reviews the halacha we learned again back in Perek Bey's, that clay eitz, clay ar. Then when it comes to wooden or leather utensils, and also clay etzim, clay zchuches, utensils made of bone or glass, the general rule when it comes to these utensils is that pshutei and tahorin, if the utensil in question lacks a receptacle, it's not built to contain anything, then it is not mekabel tuma, umekablei and tumeim. But if the utensil does have a receptacle, it is built in a way that it contains something, it has, for example, a rim, then it is mekabel tuma. It can become tame. And this is based on a drasha from the pasuk that establishes this rule. In order for utensils of these materials to be mekabel tuma, the utensil has to have a base kibul, it has to have a receptacle. Yet we'll see in this Mishnah that this condition is necessary, at least usually necessary, but not sufficient. We'll see there are other criteria to consider to determine whether the utensil in question is actually mekabel tuma. I mean, you could have a, let's say, wooden utensil that is a container, and yet it's not mekabel tuma, as we'll see. And the Mishnah statement that if the utensil lacks a receptacle, then it's not susceptible to tuma. That statement also is not always true. As we'll learn in the next Mishnah, there are cases where the Rabbanan said that even though biblically, since this, let's say, wooden utensil has no receptacle, it's not mekabel tuma, the Rabbanan said that if the utensil meets certain criteria, and practically, it can become tame. It should be noted that glass utensils can't become tame whatsoever on the biblical level, but the Rabbanan decreed that they're able to become tame because they're similar to earthenware utensils, and that glass is also ultimately made from the earth. It's made from sand. And the second rule that we learned about these types of utensils back in Perek Beis was the rule that nishbaru taheru. If any of these utensils were tame and then broke, they become tahar. If then chazer va'asim ein kelim, one took the shards and made it into a functioning utensil again, mekablin tuma mikan olaba, then from now on, the restored utensil can become tame. But the point is, we do not say that the original tuma that this utensil once had comes back. The Rabbanan only decreed that that does happen in the case of metal utensils. So once again, in the first rule we said that, generally speaking, utensil made from wood, leather, or bone that has a base kibul, has a receptacle, it holds things, is susceptible to tuma. The Mishnah presents exceptional cases where we have something made of wood, leather, or bone, where nonetheless, the item is not mekabel tuma. Because, as we'll see, it fails to meet a different criterion that we derive from the pasuk that in order to be mekabel tuma, the item in question has to be something that's moved around even when it's filled up. If the item remains fixed in place, even only when it's filled up, even if, let's say, when it's empty, you move it around, but if when it's filled up, it's fixed in place, then that item is not mekabel tuma. So, for example, the lachis hashida v'ateva v'amigdol, if you have a large wooden chest or a money changer's box, or migdal is this large wooden cabinet. So clearly all of these have a base kibul, you store things in there. Or in the case of kiveres hakash, a large straw basket, kiveres hakonim, or a large reed basket, these are in the category of clayates, are considered wooden utensils, because the straw, the reed, is hard, like wood. Or for example, bor svina lachzandri, the wooden water tank that would be used in an Alexandrian ship. The Mishnah says, Shiesh lam shalayim, if any one of the above has a flat bottom, behein machzikin arbaim saw belach, and it holds at least 40 saw of liquid, shehem kurai miyavesh, which is the equivalent of 2 kor of dry goods. You can get more dry goods in there because you could pile it up above the top. Hence, you get 2 kor of dry goods in there. If the item in question holds that amount, 40 sub liquid, harei elu tahorin, then it's not mekabel tuma. For since it has that flat bottom, that makes it harder to move around, and it holds this amount, 40 saw, when it's full, it's never moved. And therefore, it fails to meet that other criterion, that in order to be mekabel tumah, the kli has to be practically moved around even when it's full. And so these are not mekabel tumah. The Tana continues, Ushar kol hakelim, but other wooden utensils, bein mekablim, bein ein mekablim, whether they can hold 40 saw or not, meaning even if they hold a very large amount, 40 saw of liquid, but if let's say the bottom isn't flat, or it's a different type of utensil, or even if it has a flat bottom, but practically people will move it around even when it's full, tmein, such a utensil is mekabel tumah, simply because, you know, in spite of, let's say, the large amount that's stored in there, it is still moved around, even when full. Therefore, as such, a wooden utensil is mekabel tumah. Divrei Rabbi Meir. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir has presented a list of 6 wooden utensils that he says are not mekabel tumah because when they're full, they're never moved around. The Mishnah now presents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who does the opposite. He presents a list of large wooden utensils that, in spite of their large size, are mekabel tumah, because even when they're full, they are moved around. That is, Rabbi Yehuda said, as far as dardur agala, a large wooden barrel that holds water that's kept on a wagon, ve'kustas ha'malachim, or the supply chests kept in the king's traveling coach, va'reves ha'abdonin, a tanner's large wooden trough, u'bor sfina ketana, the wooden water tank kept in a small ship. So this is a smaller version of the water tank of the Alexandrian ships mentioned by Rabbi Meir. V'ha'aron, and finally a large wooden coffin. The halacha that applies to all of these is afalbisha mekablin, even though these could hold as much as 40 saw of liquid, timayin, they nonetheless are mekabel tumah, she'enin asuyin letaltel b'mashe b'socha, because they're designed to be moved around even when they're full. Yehuda says, Ushar kol hakelim, but as far as other wooden utensils, the halacha is a mekablim tahara. If they hold 40 saw or more of liquid, then they're not mekabel tumah, because the assumption is that they're never moved around. V'she'enim mekablim tumein. But if it's a smaller wooden utensil that does not hold at least 40 saw, then that it will be mekabel tumah, as presumably, you know, that's moved around even when full. So it's actually not immediately obvious what Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are disagreeing about. For certainly Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the wooden utensils listed by Rabbi Meir, that since when full they're never moved around, they're therefore not mekabel tumah. And surely Rabbi Meir agrees that the items listed by Rabbi Yehuda, which are meant to be moved around even when full, even though they're large, that they are mekabel tumah. So the question is, where is there a disagreement? Now certainly the fact that Rabbi Meir chose to present the list of large wooden utensils that are not mekabel tumah, and to make the statement that, quote-unquote, all other wooden utensils are mekabel tumah, and the fact that Rabbi Yehuda, by contrast, presented a list of large wooden utensils which are mekabel tumah, and he said everything else is not mekabel tumah, that's obviously telling us something. That is, there is some specific case that falls in the gray zone, and Rabbi Meir is coming to say that since that case is not on my list of large wooden utensils that are not mekabel tumah, my opinion is that in that case it is mekabel tumah. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is saying the opposite. Since that gray zone case is not on my list of things that are mekabel tumah, what I'm saying is that that particular type of item is not mekabel tumah. So the Mishnah fills in the missing blank here for us and explains, Ein bein divrei Rabbi Meir ledivrei Rabbi Yehuda ela arevas balabayis. The case Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are disagreeing about is a kneading trough of a regular balabayis, not a professional, just a homeowner. He has a kneading trough. This holds 40 saw of liquid. And the point in this case is that although when full, it's almost never moved around, on a rare occasion, it would be moved around. The tumah status of this particular kli is the subject of this dispute of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir again has a list of wooden utensils which he says are not mekabel tumah. Meaning the point is because the utensils on Rabbi Meir's list when full are never moved around. So Rabbi Meir's coming to say that this kneading trough, which might, you know, once in a while be moved around, does meet the criterion of being mitaltel mali v'reikan, and it's moved around even when full, and therefore it is mekabeltum. Or Rabbi Yehuda holds the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda listed large wooden utensils, which are considered portable, are mekabeltum, but this kneading trough is not in Rabbi Yehuda's list. Thus, Rabbi Yehuda is taking the position that since this kneading trough is rarely moved around, it does not fulfill the criterion of mitaltel mali v'reikan that the wooden utensil has to be portable, moved around even when full, and therefore the kneading trough, in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, is not mekabel tumah. And halach is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.